are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Somebody shout glory. Come on, do it again if that felt good. Glory. To the glory that shall be. That's future tense. That shall be revealed in us. I don't have a sad song this morning because I know who's in control. Said, I don't have a sad song this morning because I know, we know, we should know, and if you don't know, you will know that God is in control. Amen, amen, amen. And I feel to preach with the unction of the Lord so heavily this morning, to lift somebody out of the muck this morning, to pull you out of the wallowing of the pit and let you know that God has everything in his hands. Anybody believe that this morning, that God has everything, 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 everything in his hands? And I want to preach, as long as the Lord would allow me to preach, about the glory in restoration. The glory, somebody say the glory in restoration. Amen. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord. Love him. Amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, glory's coming. Amen. God bless you in the fear of the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The glory in restoration. The glory in restoration. I'm so glad this morning that we serve a God that is so great and infinite in wisdom. He is so far-sighted in his nature that he can see way further than you and I can see. We begin to open up the scripture and we can get a glimpse of God's nature. We get a microscopic view of just how infinite his wisdom is, that when God created the heavens and the earth, he created it with precise detail, with refined orchestration, that he was purposeful in everything that he did. And his purpose was not left undone, and yet he revealed it to us in the way that he allowed creatures and life to function. We know that God created everything that was created. Everything that lives, that moves, and breathes was created by the hand of God. And we know from Genesis that God created everything in 6 days, including man. But something unique happened, something a little unsettling happened on the seventh day. The Bible says that God, that he ceased from the works that he made, that he pushed a pause button on creation. But when he pushed the pause button, he did not intend to hit play again. Because God did not have an intention to create again, he ceased from the works that he made and he rested on the seventh day. Now this resting, it posed an issue for everything that was in the earth. Because everything that was created is temporal, it's temporary. Which means that everything that lives is subject to dying. Everything that was growing was subject to decay. Everything that is built up is subject to falling down. And that posed a problem, but God is far-sighted, and he put mechanisms in place that though men live and die, he put within us the ability to reproduce, so that there will be a perpetual recreating from his creation. And that sounds great, except for there were other things that began to happen, because man has the ability to be hurt and bruised. and cuts and scars and scrapes, and God foresaw that too, that he put in us the ability for our cells to begin to replicate and begin to coagulate in the blood, so that when there's brokenness and that there's bruises and that when there's a hurt in the body, that God put in place a mechanism so that the body could heal itself. And this is the spiritual principle of restoration. Somebody shout restoration. I want to preach about the glory and restoration, because Romans 8 and 18 gives us a glimpse that Paul was trying to speak to the church at Rome. And he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of our present time," that is right now. Somebody shout right now. "The sufferings of our present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." I tried to figure out, why did Paul write this way? Why did he make a comparison? And I'll tell you why, because we as people like to compare. Let the church say amen. We like to compare. We like to weigh out the apples and the oranges, and we like to compare the good and the bad, and we try to weigh the heaviness of life and the lightness of our load, and we say, "I wonder what is going on in the world right now. I wish things were the way they used to be. I wish things were normal. I wish things were better. I wish I was making money like I used to. I wish my family was way happier like we used to be." And so there is a part of us that like to compare the good and the bad, weigh out the bad and the ugly. But can I tell you that there's something on the horizon for God's people? I said there's something that's coming over the hill for God's people. There's a glory that's about to manifest itself to God's people. I don't know if you hear me this morning. And that glory that's coming and it's on its way, it's not worthy to be compared to the times of suffering that we're in, right? Oh, I just need three people to help me preach right now. I hear to tell you that the glory that's on the way, it's not worthy to be compared. It's not worthy to be talked about. It's not worthy to have conversation on. The glory that shall be revealed. Oh, clap your hands if you believe that glory is on the way. Oh, somebody clap your hands if you believe that glory is on the way. The glory that shall be revealed in us, it's not worthy for you to even have dialogue about the sufferings that we're in now, because God saw the suffering, but he also foresaw the glory. But in a time like this, I understand it takes convincing, so I'm going to take my time to convince you this morning. Is that all right if I just preach a little bit? We have something in our nature that we are pressed about and weighed about in our minds about the present circumstance. And because we're not God, we cannot see what's going on up ahead. We cannot perceive the goodness of the Lord that's working right now in the earth, because there's heaviness and there's depression and there's despair and there's uncertainty and there's question marks in our mind, because your finances are unstable and your marriage seems to be pressed because you've been cooped up in the house for a long time and you can't go to work and you're trying to make ends meet in your mind and figure out what's going on. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? We're trying to understand what's happening, but we can't see the glory that's lying ahead because we're stuck in the present time. And so we are all in different avenues of life right now. We're not all dealing with the same things. Some of us are depressed, and some of us we're optimistic, and some of us are weighed down because we weren't essential employees, and we're not making the money we used to make, and some people are making more money than they used to make. But there's avenues of life that are shifting and changing, and you're trying to figure out when will things get better. And nobody can understand what I'm going through right now. Am I preaching to anybody?
Nobody can understand what I'm going through right now. Can I tell you, I'll be honest this morning. This preacher behind this pulpit, though I feel that God speaks to me, I will not venture to say that I know exactly what you're going through, but I do know a God that does. Oh, I think I'm going to say that again. I don't know your mama, don't know your daddy, don't know your friends and co-workers can't understand the situations, the trials, the complexity and the perplexion of your mind. But I know a God that foresaw your situation before you ever stepped.
Before you ever stepped 1 foot into your situation, I know a God that saw the glory before the suffering. And so this is why we have the Word of God, because I don't know, but when you begin to look at Scripture, there's readings that take place, and the Word of God unveils itself, and there's biblical characters, and this is why we can pattern our lives after the trials and tribulations of men of God in the Word of God. Because I may not understand, but there's somebody in Scripture that if you begin to peel back the layers of their life, you say, wait a minute, that sounds like what I'm going through right now. Can I just talk to you for a little while? And so I may not know, but I begin to look at the Word of God, and there's a man that we know that we've come to know pretty popularly in Scripture, that I feel that if he was sitting on the pew right next to you this morning, that he would be able to empathize with you and understand exactly where we are in some shape and form. This man that I'm talking about is David, King David to be exact. And I've dug enough to believe that maybe there's something in the life of David that can help you this morning, because David is one of those poets that we like to run to when things are not going good. Anybody just turn to Psalms and say, The Lord is my shepherd. And you begin to read the writings of David, and his writings are so poetic and elegant, and they sound so refreshing to your spirit, and they sound to be so good. But you can't imagine that David would understand what we're going through. But I go to Psalm 23, and it's something about his writings that in our mind we like to read them and recite them because they sound beautiful and they sound poetic and they sound uplifting. But there's more there if you can dig a little bit. Because we say it with great boldness and great unction in our spirit, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it sounds really good, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. Just say that, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It sounds so poetic. It sounds so nice, but I begin to read it, and I'm almost convinced that it didn't sound as good when David was writing it as you might think it did. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And it still sounds really poetic. But I begin to think about David, and I begin to think about us, and I think about David, and I think about us, and something clicks in my mind that God caused David to lie down. He made David to lie down. Can I tell you that God has a way of pushing the pause button on your life and getting you to slow down just enough? I don't know if you hear me this morning. Slow down just enough. He causes us to slow down just enough that you can find him and see him like you've never seen him before. Anybody hear me preach to you this morning? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. He said, he maketh me lie down. He said, David, I want to take you to the green pastures. I want you to lay down. I want you to slow down. And you don't think that David understands what it feels like to be on quarantine. But I'll tell you that David was all by himself in a Mediterranean valley, in the rocks, in the wilderness where the grass was just barely coming out of the rocks. And he said, I've made you to lie down in green pastures. And I want to lead you beside the still waters.
So you're trying to figure out, why did God do that? I'll tell you why. It's because in moments of isolation and in moments of quietness and in moments of stillness is where you can hear God the best, and you can hear God the... I don't know if you hear me preach to you. Don't you understand that in the times of suffering, God has caused the whole world to come to a screeching halt. But in this time of suffering, it's not a time of depression, but it's a time of seeking to find God like you've never. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God to find God like you've never found him before. Because he said in the stillness, in the quiet, in the lonely place, there's a glory that shall be revealed. It's all right if I just keep preaching this morning. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And so I kind of drifted to that valley in my mind, and I just thinking about David lying down by these still brooks of water where he's known to lead his sheep. And David is trying to see the reflection of the great shepherd to man, because the great shepherd, he guides his sheep to the waters. He guides them to the pastures, but it's not purposeless. God has a purpose in guiding us and letting us seek him, because in this time, we need to find God. And David's in this pasture. And it doesn't take much pressing or much stretching to know that David, while he's by the still waters, he probably peered over and looked at his reflection. Because when you go to the still waters, there's a reconciliation. There's a confronting of the nature of the man that you are, the man, the woman, and the mirror. And can I tell you that in this time when the earth is slowing down and you're at home by yourself and you're trying to figure out what to do, can I tell you, if you just peer over in the mirror and you begin to evaluate yourself, you'll find out I can be so much closer to God than I am right now. You'll find out I can be so much more anointed than I am right now. That the place, the man, and the woman that I thought I was, when I peer over in the still waters, I need that reflection to see. Because God wants to see his reflection in you. God wants to see him in you. Can I tell you that we don't have time to be spreading and disseminating negativity to people? Because if anybody has hope, we have hope. If anybody has... I don't know if you hear me. If anybody ought to have a smile on their face. David, I want you to peer over that water. I want you to evaluate. I want you to see the man in the mirror. I want you to see yourself, because when you find out that there's something more, there's something that more that I can be, that God's calling me, that God's pressing me, his voice is speaking to me. And then there's something that happens. There's a shift in this writing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And if you want to wonder why God did that, if you're trying to figure out why God is causing us to be isolated, why God is allowing us to be in a place of isolation, I'll tell you why. It's because David realized, God, I know why you took me here. Because King David began to write, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth. Somebody say restore. He restoreth my soul. Can I tell you that in this moment, in this season, in this time of suffering, in the present time, that God is doing something that you cannot see below the surface, because there's people that they haven't felt God, haven't known God, haven't fell in love with God like they should. But God said, when I cause you to be in the bedroom by yourself, when I cause you to be without work, when I cause you to be lonely, when I cause you to be in the meadow, when I cause you to find a pastor, what I'm causing you to do is find rest. I'm causing you to find restoration. I want you to feel the Spirit like you felt it the first time you got it. I want you to feel my anointing like you did the first day you felt it. I want you to I want your spirit to be restored. I want your family to be restored. I want your life to be restored. I want your money to be restored. I need somebody to feel what I'm preaching. There's a spirit of restoration, and it's flowing. He said, I'll restore. I'll restore. Oh, you ought to clap your hands in the house. There's glory on the way. There's glory on the way. There's glory peeking over the horizon. There's a spirit that's flowing in. Somebody shout glory. You ought to get excited because glory is on the way. I don't care what it looks like. You can't see what's happening at the end of the tunnel, but keep walking. And though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm telling you because God's standing at the edge of the tunnel, and he said the glory is where I am. And if you get to me, I don't know if you hear me. If you get to God, you'll get to the glory. I'm going to say it on this side just in case you can hear me. When you get to God, you will get to the glory. Somebody shout glory. Come on, shout glory. Come on, I pray that spirit just fills this sanctuary to let you know you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to be depressed because the glory that shall be revealed is not worthy to compare to the times. There's some people that God's trying to pull you to a greater anointing, so don't complain about isolation. Moses went there. Jesus went there. Elisha went there. They all went to isolation. They went to a place where God can tap them on the shoulder and they wouldn't misinterpret his voice and they wouldn't misinterpret his communication because God is speaking. God is speaking, but in order for us to hear him, he said, I have to make you lie down in green pastures. So though David may not understand COVID-19, maybe he can understand quarantine. When you're by yourself is when God can place his hands on you. You can find an anointing. I'm talking to every young man in this room, every young lady in this room. This is not a time to be idle. This is not a time for you to have a twiddling of your thumb. This is a time for you to begin to move those fingers on the pages of scripture and find God and find the glory and find God and find the glory. This is a time for you to reach somebody like you've never reached them before because in the times of suffering, you ought to say, don't compare. Don't compare because what God is going to do, there's no comparison. David continued to write. He just kept on writing. And there's another psalm that we like to quote, another psalm that we like to just let it roll off the tongue because it sounds good. Psalm 51. Anybody know that psalm? Psalm 51. If you really read it, you know good and well that's not a pretty song. That's an ugly crying song, one of them ugly face. You ever seen somebody just crying with that really ugly face? I've done that. Lord, help me. Please don't take a picture when that face is on. That ugly face cry, that real ugly face. But God loves the ugly face. God loves it when you cry out to him with brokenness and you have no ability to put yourself back together because God's whispering in your ear and said, I'm the God that restores. I'm the God that can replicate the cells in your body and heal every brokenness of your heart and to reseal every fracture of your mind and to bring back the brokenness in your marriage and to bring your kids back home that's been gone for a long time. He said, I'm the God that restores. And if you trust me in the season of quiet and if you trust me in a time of suffering, you'll find out that there's a glory that shall be revealed. I'm telling you, there ought to be something that seeps up in your heart and get excited this morning and said, there's glory that's coming. 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 Oh, you ought to take about 10 seconds and lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for the glory cloud that's coming to my house. I'm telling you, there's glory that'll saturate the sanctuary. There's glory that'll meet you at home at 2 o'clock in the morning. And God's saying, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Oh, come on, clap your hands and let the glory. Come on, let the glory. Come on, let it fall. Come on, let God's spirit fall. And say, God, let it pour out and fall down on me. Somebody shout glory. Is this all right this morning? But let me explain to you what else God is doing in this season. Sometimes the good has to suffer for the bad. The rain falleth on the just and the unjust. Perils of life, we're not exempt from those. Because God has a way of just lumping everybody else in together. It might not be your fault, but God's still doing something and working something. And David writes this Psalm 51. And this is the time that David fell into adultery with Bathsheba. And he's broken and hardened. He sort tore up for what he did. There's something in David that realized he's not the man that he should have been. He didn't uphold the banner of loyalty and royalty like he should have, because he was supposed to be a man after God's own heart, but he broke God's heart by the deceitfulness and the lust of his flesh. But there's something in there in David that I look at the meadow and I look at David, and Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe David remembered that meadow. Maybe he remembered that God that restores the soul. And David began to cry out in Psalm 51 and 10, and he says something that sounds poetic, but David was broken. Somebody say broken. David was broken. He said, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew in me a right spirit. Can I tell you what God is doing in the earth right now? There's some people in this earth that will never, ever, ever, never find God until suffering knocks on their door. I think I'm going to say that again, just in case you didn't hear me. There's some people that will never pray until they desperately need God to touch them. And God has a way of breaking the legs and breaking the arms and making us to where we have to crawl on our hands and knees to find him. And David had to drag himself back to God and said, God, I messed up. Anybody hear me preach to you this morning? This is the part we don't like to talk about, but can I tell you that in this season and this time, that there's people that's realizing that, God, I messed up. I should have never left the church. I'm talking to you this morning. I should have never, ever left the church. Because now that the covering and the haven of safety is gone, the provision, the blood has been removed, the hedge of protection is no longer on your life, that you found yourself in a place where David was subject to the hand of the judgment of God. And David said, God, please have mercy on me. Right now, God is drawing people to repentance like we've never seen before. Everybody know what I'm talking about? There's people, you're listening to me right now, and you listen carefully. Please hear me this morning. Do not ignore the voice of God that's telling you to repent. That is not the devil. I don't know if you hear me this morning. The devil will never tell you you need to say, God, I'm sorry. The devil will never tell you you need to cry out and ask God for forgiveness. The devil will never tell you that you need to go back to church because it's been a long time. The devil will never tell you that you need to get close to God. But God is saying, come close to me. I still love you. Come back to me. I still love you. Come back to me. I'm still in the meadow where you left me. I'm still by the still. And God is drawing people in this season. If you're here right now, listen, if you feel so dirty, if you feel the heaviness of guilt, that is why there's the pool of baptism that will wash away every sin. When you feel like a dirty man, when you feel like an unclean woman, it's that spirit of David that said, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew in me a right spirit. And David, I don't know if he just liked repeating words, but maybe I think he understood that he had a God that can replicate his best performances, that he was a God of the encore. And David thought about Psalm 23, and he said, God, if you restored me back then, you can do it again. If you renewed me back then, you can do it again. If you saved my family, you can save somebody else's family. If you brought back the backslider, you can do it in my house. And I tell you, the God of the encore is in the house. The God of the encore is in the house. And I know David was broken. I know David was hurting. But I can believe in my mind that David got a glimpse of glory that was seeping through from the heavens. And David said, I'm broken and I'm hurting. He said, but restore unto me the joy.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now.
He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Can I tell you that if you felt on hard times and you've lost your consecration and you've lost your commitment and you're not walking step by step with Jesus, this is a time that you restore the joy of your salvation. I feel God in the house. This is a time that you say, God, I need that anointing again. I need that glory again. I need that power again. Oh, somebody lift up your hands and say, God, restore, restore, restore. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, let me find you in the depths that I've never seen, felt, or heard your voice before. God, let me find. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? I'm talking about the times when you're weeping and say, God, I need more. I don't have enough. God, I want more. I don't have enough. My family is broken. My life is in despair. My world is shaken. But there is a God that's in control, and there's glory. I said there's glory that's on the way.
There's a polarity right now, because right now you're trying to figure out how in the world is he so convinced. Some of your faces are like, man, that sounds great, but you don't know what you're talking about. I'm dealing with a whole bunch of stuff, and my world is not your world, and my life is not your life. You don't understand what I'm going through, but I understand God. The little bit I do know about him, I do know that he is in control. Oh, I hope somebody up there gets convinced that God is in control. Not me, not you, not the government. God is in control. You say, well, how are you so convinced of that? You mean to tell me that God is allowing these calamities, these sufferings, these times of peril to touch people? Well, let me help you. Let me help you out a little bit. Is it all right if I just help somebody? Just give me 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Is that all right? 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Almost done. Somebody's like, yes, Lord, you got happy this morning. Joel 2 and 25. Because he's the God of restoration, he's the God that restores. God gave his people a promise. He said, I will restore unto you the years. Not days. 137 days from when all this stuff started happening. Not days, not weeks, not months. He said the years. All the backsliders, you need to hear what I'm telling you right now. God will restore the years that the locust had eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm.
Now, before I tell you where I'm going, I want you to really understand what's happening in this text. The only time that you really see the locust prominent on the pages of scriptures during a time of plagues and during a time of judgment, during a time of great darkness, the locusts just come out of the ground, just come out of the east, and they just appear on the page of scripture. Egypt, they appeared. In Revelations, they appear. And the locusts devour every green thing in sight, everything that has life, everything that is positive, everything that is good. God sent the hail to Egypt, and the hail didn't finish the job, but the locust did. He said, I'm going to send the locust to devour everything that the hail left unturned. But not only the locust, he said the cankerworm. Now some of you are like, what in the world is a cankerworm? Anybody ever heard of that before? What is a cankerworm? The cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm are all in the same family. We know what the caterpillar is, or at least I hope we all know what a caterpillar is. The caterpillar is the larval stage of the butterfly before it goes through the transformation, its metamorphosis through the cocoon. The caterpillar eats everything that it can to build up its energy source so that it can sustain the time of waiting before its transformation. So if you remember that kid's book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar, anybody remember that book? All the nerds, raise your hand in the house. It's all right. The Very Hungry Caterpillar that just kept eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. It was devouring everything in sight. So the cankerworm and the palmer worm are in the same family, but they are the larval stage of the moth. So you didn't know you was going to biology class this morning, did you? It is the larval stage of the moth, and they do the same thing. They have to eat and devour and so that they have enough energy to survive. But God said, I'm going to restore the years that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm and the locust that they ate and devoured. Can I tell you that sometimes that just when you thought that you was getting headway and things was getting good and then you get a setback. It's like, man, I just got a raise on the job and now I'm let go. Things just start getting right and I just found my step and life was just good and all of a sudden, life is getting devoured right before your eyes. Things are starting to be devoured. Life seems to be dark and things are no longer green. And you can turn to God and said, God, what are you doing? Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? But can I remind you that God is in control? Just let that seep in your spirit. Let it get down so deep that you walk outside and say, I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I don't have to, listen, don't you worry about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow because God holds the sparrows in his hand. He knows when they fall. He's got your hairs numbered. He knows exactly what's going on. But listen, I really want you to feel the spirit of joy that's in my mind right now, because that last part, you just really have to understand that last part. You see all the bad stuff devouring, right? All the bad stuff. We like to talk about that, right? And there's no way that God is allowing these things to happen, but you're wrong. He said, the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, can I let you in on a little secret this morning? Can I let you in on a secret new life? Can I let you in on a secret? Just tell me amen if you can hear me. They work for God. I don't know if you're really just hearing what I'm telling you this morning. He said everything that you think is destroying your life, everything that's coming against you, everything that's weighing you down, that depression that you're battling with because things seem to be broken and in decadence and falling to pieces. He said you must understand a secret about my nature. He said the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar, they work for me. Oh, if you know what I know, you will get excited this morning. He said, they're my great army. They work for me. I give give them commands. I tell them when to start. I tell them when to stop. I tell them when the rain to fall. And I tell them when the sun to shine. I tell them when life comes and when life goes. But blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. He said, they're my great army that I sent among you. Can I tell you what God wants to do in this house? Can we just have a heart-to-heart right now? God wants to restore his people to a place that you can sustain yourself in the times of suffering. That's the glory in restoration. That's the glory that God will not stop the wind, but he'll allow you the grip to hold on enough and don't let go. God will give you the ability to stand when nobody else is standing. God will give you the ability to have a sound mind when everybody else is losing their everlasting mind. God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. God will give you a comfort that your family doesn't have. God, I'm telling you right now, feel it in the Holy Ghost. If you want boldness, if you want restoration, if you want anointing, that's why we're here this morning, that God can restore my spirit, that God can make me stronger than I ever thought I can be. Haggai 2 and 9 said the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. I just happen to believe that God's church is still going to survive when all of this is done. I just happen to believe that God's still going to be on the throne and he's still going to have a people and new life is still going to be growing and still expanding. And when everybody's scratching their heads and they're saying we're losing people by the dozens, we're going to be growing by the dozens because God said, I'll restore and I'll add. I'll give you back everything you lost plus some. Come quickly to the music. Come quickly. And so this is what has to happen. Stand with me if you can. This is what has to happen in this house. We right now, God, I feel that God is going to do something so great this weekend, this next service after this one. But for those that are here right now and those that are planning on coming back tonight, listen, you need to lock in for these two messages. Listen carefully. Because God is wanting to give his people a strength. God is, anybody ever felt like you just could not make it one more day? Like, God, I don't know if I can handle all this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't feel like I can handle all of this. I don't understand. But God is here, and he knows, and there's a spirit of restoration, and you might not can see it. Somebody say, you might not can see it. Come on, say it like you mean it. You might not can see it. But glory is on the way. You might not can feel it, but glory is on the way. Oh, I know it's a little scarce up there, and y'all don't have some people on the side of you, but glory's coming to fill from the top to the bottom. Glory's coming to expand from wall to wall. Glory. So can I give you a formula for getting a little pep in your step this morning? I don't think I was too hyped, so you know I'm not trying to hype you up. We're just talking this morning. When people come to you with depression and negativity, just drop a glory in their spirit. And say, yeah, but glory's coming. Listen, I know you need finances, but glory's coming. I know you don't understand the peril at hand, but the sufferings of our present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's coming. Come on, look at your neighbor. You gotta convince each other, because I'm convinced. Glory is coming. Now, listen, there's two There's two people here this morning. Listen carefully. We're going to pray. There's two types of people here this morning. There's some people that you've known God and you've been in an intimate place with God and you're not there right now. Listen carefully. You're not there right now. And in this time, this season, God is trying to draw men closer and call them to higher heights and deeper depths. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? All the folks that you said, God, use this time to let me build my relationship with you. If you don't feel God like you felt him when you first got the Holy Ghost, you got to find it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. You got to find it now because tomorrow might be worse. And if you don't have the strength to make it today, you won't have the strength to make it tomorrow. And then there's the other that I'm preaching to this morning. I'm talking to those that you don't know God. And that feeling that you felt early in the service where the music's going and you felt something weighed on you and you just felt like crying, that feeling right there, that feeling is the power of God that's trying to lead you to repentance. Because no man come to the Father except the Spirit draws him. Listen, if there are things that you are ashamed of that you've done in your life and you don't have the Holy Ghost and you don't have what we have right now, you don't have that joy, you don't know what it feels like to have happiness in your life and to have peace in your mind, that's why you came to New Life this morning. And I want to tell you that God will meet you right where you're standing. He will meet you right where you're standing. He will meet you. Everybody in this house from this side to that side, that if you've even connected with a little bit of what I'm saying, I'm talking to people, you've been in severe depression. You went to the mirror this week and you're realizing that you're losing your hair. I'm talking to you right now that God has come to restore your spirit and lift you out of the muck where you are and say, don't you ever count me out, because I know that glory is where I'm standing. Listen, before we sing, I want us to tap into the Holy Ghost right now. I want every daddy, if you're on the road with your children and your wife, I want you to grab your wife by the hand. I want you to hold her close. I want you to grab your family. Listen, God is ministering to people right now. If you don't have family, if you're a visitor, this is what I want you to do. I want you to lift up your hands as high as you can. And I want you to let every weight that is on your heart, every tear that you feel like crying, everything that you feel like letting out. I know you feel depressed. I know you feel weighed down. But I want you to talk to God as loud as you can. That's it right there. Come on, lift up your voice as loud as you can. Come on, that's it. Say, God, I need you. God, I need you right now, Jesus. I need you right now, Jesus. Come on, you need the Holy Ghost to restore your spirit. Come on, don't let this time be a season of idleness, but find God, find God, find God. Come on, that's it right now. Come on, pray. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Come on, let it from your lips. Come on, I know you're frustrated. I know you're aggravated, but tell God about it. Tell God about it. Tell God about it. Come on, preacher. Come on, God's going to use you. But you got to step into the glory. You got to step into the glory. You got to step into the glory. Come on, that's it. Come on, you and your family. Come on, nobody knows what goes on in your house but you. But talk to God and say, God, I need the glory to come. I need your spirit of restoration to fill my mind, fill my heart. That's it right there. Fill my mind. Come on, find the Spirit. Find the Spirit. Find the Spirit. Come on, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. Come on, come on, come on. God wants to hear your voice. Come on, that's it. Come on, lift it up as loud as you can. Don't worry about who's next to you. Don't worry about who's next to you. This is not about them. This is you and God. That God's trying to call you to the meadow. He's trying to take you to the pasture. He's trying to lead you beside the still waters. He's trying to say, find me and you'll find the glory. Find me and you'll find the glory. That's it. Can you hear it? Come on, I said there's glory coming to your house today. There's glory coming to your house. Come on, if you're worried about your finances right now, come on, believe in faith. Come on, have the faith to believe. If you feel like taking your purse and hold it up to God, say, God bless my house. God bless my family. God bless me. God, I need your spirit. I need your glory. Come on, I said, cry out. Come on, King David, I said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. God is listening. God is listening. God is listening. Come on, I said, hands high, hands high, hands high, and say, God, see me. God, can you see me? Come on, I said, come on, can you feel it? Come on, feel it. Come on, feel out to God. Come on, feel out to God. Come on, there's a God that's walking. There's a God that's walking. Come on, he's walking in between these pews. His spirit is lingering. He's saying, I led you beside the still waters. I know you feel lonely, but I'm right here. I know you feel empty, but I'm right here. I know you feel broken, but I'm replicating by the blood of my spirit to find healing. Come on, come on. Come on, be sincere for God for 5 minutes. I guarantee you won't regret it. And say, God, I need you. That's it. Come on, say, God, God, I need you right now. I need to be a stronger man. I need to be a better man. I need your spirit. Come on, I need some preachers to help me pray. Come on, help me pray. Help me pray. Help me pray. Come on, God will find you. He'll find you right where you are. Come on, new life preachers, I need you to help me. Come on, help me find. Come on, pray for a family that's broken. Come on, pray for a family that needs restoration. God is drawing you back to the house. He's drawing you back to the house. This is your home. This is your family. This is your house. Created me. Come on, if you feel like repenting right now, say, God created me a clean heart. God, forgive me, Lord. I messed up. I stepped off the path. I went the wrong way. It's my fault, Jesus. But guess what? God said, I'll restore you. I'll restore you. I'll restore you. Come on, I said right there, somebody's getting broken right now. Come on, somebody's finding a new level of anointing. Come on, somebody's finding restoration. Restoration, come on. Let it get in your spirit. Restore, restore, restore. Restore, restore, restore. Restore, restore, restore. Restore. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, you feel it to the house. There's a glory that's saturated the sanctuary. There's a glory, there's a glory. Come on, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, you can get the Holy Ghost right now. You can get the Holy Ghost right now. Don't worry about your children. Come on, God's got them in his hands. Don't worry about your family. It's all in the hands of the Creator. He said, I'll restore the broken things. I'll restore the broken things. I'm the God that brings miracles. I'm the God that breathes life. I'm the God that heals the hurting. I'm the God of the God. Thank you. Come on, come on, come on. If you feel like walking around these altars, if you feel like walking around the altar, say, God, I gotta get closer to you. I gotta find the still waters. Come on, just walk around in Zion and say, find the water. Come on, find the brook that flows with a coolness that'll refresh your spirit, that'll wash your life, that'll renew your mind. Come on, I said, let the Holy Ghost. Come on, let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers. Said, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice. Come on, sing unto the Lord, cry unto the Lord. Come on, God's healing the land right now. He's healing your land right now. He's healing your land right now. That's it. Come on, that's it. Cry out to God with a boldness. Cry out to God like you believe that glory's on the way. That glory's on the way. Believe it, believe it, believe it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Glory's coming. Glory's coming. Glory that's coming. Are being restored right now. Come on, pray with your family. Come on, pray. Come on, we bind every spirit of depression. We bind every spirit of fear. We bind every spirit of unbelief. We bind every spirit of suicidal thoughts. God, that your glory will be revealed and you will be exalted among the heathen. God, that you will get the glory. That you will get the glory. That you will get the glory. God's answering right now. He's answering right now.
For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. I will do anything.
Come on, deeper depths. Come on, this is a time to find the depths, to launch out in the deepness of God, to find His nature, to find His spirit, to find His glory. I gotta find you, Jesus. I gotta find you, Jesus. Come on, tell the Lord, I gotta find you, Jesus. I gotta find you, Jesus. Come on, God's touching. Come on, God's touching. Come on, God's touching. Come on, there's an anointing that'll flow from the waters that are still. There's an anointing that'll flow from the waters that are still.
I wanna be where you are.
be, I gotta be. I wanna be where you are, Jesus.
Gotta be where you are.
Come on, there's a wave right now. There's a wave. Something's happening. Come on, something's happening in the sanctuary of God. Come on, say, God, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. I need more. I need healing in my mind. I need healing in my spirit. Spirit, come on, press into his spirit. Say, God, I need you right now like I've never needed you before. God, I need you right now in my present time. I need you right now in the present time of suffering, so that I would know that glory, that glory, that glory is on the way. Can you feel the Holy Ghost? Come on, can you feel the Holy Ghost? God, I gotta be, I gotta be, I gotta be, I gotta be where you are.
Gotta be where you are.
Come on, let the Holy Ghost flow. Come on, somebody be restored in the spirit. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Be a shift in your spirit. Come on, let there be a joy in your spirit that God's here and he's meeting your needs right now. That God's here and he's meeting your needs right now. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Come on. Listen. Come on. Let the Holy Ghost linger right now. Come on. Let there be a lingering. There's a cloud of glory. Come on. There's a cloud of glory that's lingering over the tabernacle right now. Come on. There's a cloud of glory. Come on. Come on. Reach out and feel that anointing. Come on. That's it right there. Come on. You feel it. Come on. You feel it. There's a glory that's lingering. There's a glory that's lingering. Yes, 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 that's it right there. You feel it. Come on, reach it, reach it, reach it, reach it, reach it. Come on, reach it. Come on, reach out and touch it. Come on, reach out and feel after God. Come on, feel the glory. Come on, feel the glory. Come on, feel the glory. Come on, come on, get out of the present time. Come on, get out of the present time and feel the glory. Come on, get out of the present time. Come on, leave the present behind and step out of the glory. Hey, Come on, leave the suffering. Come on, leave the suffering right where it is. Come on, leave depression right where it is. Come on, leave brokenness right where it is. Come on, step in the glory. Step in the glory. Step in the glory. Come on, step in it. Step in it. Step in it. Come on, that's it. Step in the glory. That's it. One step at a time. Come on, one foot at a time. And say, I'm going where the glory is. I'm going where the glory is. I'm going to meet Jesus. I'm going to meet Jesus. Come on, that's it. You ought to get a breakthrough in the spirit right now. Feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's it. You feel it from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Come on, let something break in new life right now. Come on, let something break in the tabernacle right now. Come on, let the devil know he's a liar and God's on the throne. He's a liar and the king is on the Come on, that's it. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, speak into your spirit. Glory, glory. I need it. I want it. I gotta see it. I see the glory. There's a light shining. There's a cloud falling. There's an anointing brewing. There's glory. Said, feel after it, feel it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I didn't preach a long time. Come on, so you can find God. Come on, find God, find God, find Him, find Him, find Him, seek Him, find Him. Come on, all the way in the balcony. Come on, all it takes is a few minutes of sincerity and the holy anointing of God will meet your life. He'll restore your marriage. Come on, that's it. Come on, come on. Come on, find God. Come on, find God. Come on, with hands lifted. Come on, God can't resist that. Come on, when your eyes closed and your heart broken, God can't resist that. Come on, when your heart broken, God can't resist that. When your tears are falling, God can't ignore that. And the glory begins to fall. And the glory begins to fall. Come on, come on, come on. You leaving with victory this morning. Come on, leave with victory. Declare it in the name of Jesus. I'm leaving with a glory cloud following me. I'm leaving with glory coming to my family. I'm leaving with glory pressing into my life. I'm leaving with glory. There's something in my spirit. I'm leaving with the joy of my salvation. I got it back. I got it back. I got it back. Come on, you ought to clap your hands. Come on, you ought to clap your hands and thank God for the glory. Come on, let glory saturate your spirit. Come on, let glory saturate. Come on, let it flow. That's it, let it flow.
Thank you.